Brewers fans, I want you to sit back and rank this Brewers team's offseason between 1 and 10. 1 obviously being the worst and 10 being the best. Where do you sit with this team? We discuss. Plus, Scott Rolen is a Hall of Famer and Mailbag Thursday. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. You are Locked On Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Brewers fans, welcome into the Locked On Brewers podcast. Thank you for always making Locked On Brewers your first listen each and every day. Do not forget, we are free and available on all podcast platforms or wherever you get your podcast. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to our show over on YouTube at Locked On Brewers. I am your host, Brandon Snide, a producer over at Wisconsin's radio station WTMJ. And like you, a diehard Milwaukee Brewers fan, recording this podcast actually just minutes away from American Family Field. You know it, and I know it, is home to our Milwaukee Brewers. You can find me on Twitter at Brandon_Snide. I really appreciate you guys allowing me to steal some of your time to talk about our Milwaukee Brewers. As you know by now, Locked On Brewers is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And this episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. So we're going to jump right into it, Brewers fans. And I'm curious where you stand. You're going to get where I stand. Bleacher Report, if you follow them on Twitter, if you saw the post on Twitter, came out with a fun little Twitter post asking their followers to rank their favorite teams offseason between the numbers from 1 to 10. You heard it at the beginning of the show. And I'm curious, from your point of view, from your perspective, the great listeners of the Locked On Brewers podcast, where does the needle fall for you for the Milwaukee Brewers? Are you a 1? Probably not, right? Maybe a 3, a 5, a 7. Are you an 8 or a 10? And if you are, I'm really curious to hear from you. My needle falls at a 5. I think it's been good. It's been not bad. And it's kind of not great, right? So you're kind of falling into that middle range. I know that's probably not a whole lot of fun to discuss, but I'm going to tell you why I think that it's a 5, right? And the positives are, we've talked about it before, you probably nailed your catcher of the future. I wouldn't say probably, you more than likely did. Identify your catcher of the future and maybe the most glaring positional need going into 2023. And I'm talking about the acquisition of William Contreras, who just turned 25 last month. Talking about a guy who hit 20 home runs a season ago, an OPS of 860, an OPS plus of 138 in only 97 games and over 376 plate appearances. He was an all-star. And if you've missed the conversation I had with Paul Byrd, former big league pitcher, currently works for Bally Sports Braves, he called him, and I'm quoting him, he could be, potentially be, the best catcher in all of baseball. So, you know, you could, and I've seen it before on Twitter and on Facebook, people are saying, well, just by that alone, this is a great offseason. And sure, that's a great addition, but there's a lot more holes out there, right? And I think as the offseason progresses, you may see some of those get addressed. And time is still a little early here in late January, but you would imagine that there's going to be some more pieces added to this Milwaukee Brewers 2023 roster. I also liked that this team identified basically how they want their bullpen to look like, right? Hard throwing guys. There's plenty of depth. I think they addressed it. Could it add more to it? Sure. You would like another high leverage lefty in there. I've been calling for Andrew Chafin since arguably I took over this podcast, but you got good depth. Ethan Small, Jason Junk, a guy that was acquired in the Hunter Renfro trade. Devin Williams obviously is going to be in your back end. I like Tyson Miller. I like Peter Strzelecki. Elvis Poguara, he's going to be a guy I think that's going to play a pivotal role, and so on and so forth. And all these guys are going to play pivotal roles going into 2023. I like the depth. I really do. I like Wade Miley as your probably fourth or fifth starter, right? He is a solid compared to where you were last year's lackluster depth of the rotation. It just wasn't really good. going into later parts in the season. And I know health plays into it. I know he's got to be healthy, and I know the neck injury scares a lot of people, but I think Jesse Winker might be your best bat in 2023. I mean, I've said it before, especially at American Family Field. His splits are incredible. Not only are his splits at American Family Field really, really good, his splits against the NL Central, the Cubs, the Cardinals, the Pirates, the Reds, I mean, it's incredible. So he is a guy that I think could be your best bat in 2023. Those are all great things. Now, the things that are probably not so great or could use a little bit of love, third base still is a little bit of meh to me, right? It's in that middle, right? That's why I have him at number five. Because I think getting Brian Anderson, you got him for a cheap deal, but if you could get Brian Anderson on his 2019 form, then sure, right? Where he hit 20 home runs, batted in 66 runs, had an OPS of 811 to go with a 112 OPS plus. If that's the third base Brian Anderson you're getting, then sure. Then you've identified another glaring need in the infield and on your roster, but he hasn't been healthy. So he hasn't been healthy the last 2 years. What do you got out of Brian Anderson? Is he going to be a durable piece for you going forward? You know, I guess, yeah, time will tell, but it's just something that I'm not overly sold on. That's why I had them drop a little bit in the rankings. Are the Brewers over left-handed batting heavy? Probably, right? You would imagine so, and what we're going to see what that roster looks like, obviously, going forward, and who's healthy and who's not. But right now, I think they're over left heavy when it comes to the hitting. And, you know, I want to pump the brakes on this too, because I've talked about them before on this podcast, and I don't think that they're going to be bad. This isn't a negative effect on the offseason for the Milwaukee Brewers going into 2023, but as exciting as it is, as fun as they're going to be, we've seen a little bit of last year with Garrett Mitchell. You can't necessarily rely on these prospects right off the bat. Yes, pun was completely intended to be used there, so you're welcome. But I'm excited, but you got to see something first out of these guys, right? What is Sal Frelick going to be? What is Joey Weimer? We've seen a little bit of Garrett Mitchell. We've talked to numerous people on this podcast. You probably won't see Jackson Chourio until 2024. They're great. They've been great all their way up in the minor league system, but it's one of those things where you just have to see them in the major leagues. I've been excited so many times about prospects that just did not pan out. I was psyched, probably the most recent one, of Kesson Hira, and he was great in 2019 going into 2020, but it's kind of fizzled out. And now you're really not sure where Kesson Hira fits into 2023. And numerous people that we've talked about on this podcast do not think he has a future, but I'll digress on that. That's not what we're here to discuss. But I have the Brewers, if I had to rank their offseason between the numbers of 1 through 10, 1 being the worst, 10 obviously being the best, I think they're right in the middle, right? I think they're right in the middle. I think to go up to a 7 and 8 for me, figure out what you're doing with Corbin Burnes, figure out what you're doing with Brandon Woodruff, figure out what you're doing with Willie Adames. Now, I know two out of those three guys signed their one-year deals to avoid an arbitration case, and obviously Corbin Burnes is the lone one. I think eventually at some point they will agree with Corbin Burnes. I think they were in disagreement. They were short in amount of roughly around $740,000, $750,000. So I think at some point they'll figure that out. But I'm talking long-term, right? Because these guys – and I'm speaking for all three of them, but mostly Corbin Burnes — don't just grow on trees. I mean, that is your anchor. That is your guy that you can rely on day in, every fifth day, to go in and play and go in and pitch at a very high level. Over 200 innings last year. I want to see him extended. I want to see him in Milwaukee. And if he's not going to be, I think his highest trade value is probably going into this offseason. 2 years of control. You find a team who thinks their window's in within 2 years. We've discussed this before. And go from there. However, I'm curious to see where they're going to go. And that's the direction I want to see them go. Willie Adames had some interesting words at the Hot Stove Cold Brews, where he said he was not in contract negotiations, but in November he was. He said he was. So maybe just a little bit of confusion on both ends over there between Willie Adames and the Milwaukee Brewers. But that's just kind of where I sit right now. So I'm curious where you guys sit. What about you? Let me know. You can drop me a comment on Twitter at Brandon @Jason_Snide, or go to the Twitter site for the show at Locked On Brewers and drop your thoughts. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can obviously drop your comments below. Rank the Brewers offseason 1 through 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being the best. I have them a 5. Where do you have them? Coming up next, you asked and I'll answer. It is Mailbag Thursday. But first, the NFL playoffs are here. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America. That's right, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make sports betting fun and easy. New customers, listen up right here. Join today to get started and get $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Bet $5, get $150. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all of your favorite bets from Moneyline to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. All on the app that's safe, secure, and super, super easy to use. So football fans, can't say Packer fans. Well, you could if you're watching it, but our Packers are not in. So don't miss out on this opportunity. Place your $5 bet to get $150 in free bets. Win or lose at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Thank you for making Locked On Brewers your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he is going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It is free and available wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Brewers fans, it is time. It is time. It is time. It is time for one of my favorite things to do throughout the course of this podcast, getting to your questions, and you guys did not disappoint once again. So let's jump right into it. First question goes out to Lori, who is on Facebook. Remember, guys, we are on Facebook. You can follow the show on Facebook at Locked On Brewers Podcast. She asks, what do you think about David Stearns being tied to the Houston Astros for the GM role? Well, I'm surprised it took this long, to be quite honest with you. When David Stearns stepped down on October, was it 27th of 2022, I was a little surprised at the timing. I thought he would have finished out in 2023. Obviously, he did not. I'm not surprised that he is being linked to a place where he came from, right? Houston. I think that there's ties there. I think we all kind of, as Brewers fans, you kind of knew that this was inevitable, right? He's too good at what he does to not be targeted in for job searches or job openings. So I think it's not surprising whatsoever. I'm surprised it really took what, 3 months, 2 months from when he resigned to be tied to this. Now, question is, going forward, what do the Milwaukee Brewers do? Because he is tied to the Milwaukee Brewers through 2023. You could receive some compensation for him. What do you do if you're Mark Attanasio? What do you do in this situation where obviously you've worked hand in hand with David Stearns over the course of what, 7 years, 6, 7 years? So there's a friendship there. There's a human element to this, but I do think that it's not surprising. And I think it's only a matter of time, really, Laurie, before we see David Stearns in a new role. So great, great, great question. Next question goes out to my guy, Jesse, who's over on Twitter. He asks, who is one guy you always wish or wished for to become a Brewer? Great question. See, I love the questions that are Brewer questions, baseball questions. They kind of have like a personal touch to them because it's always good to get to know people and listeners. And I'm curious about you guys. Who would be one person that's played in the major leagues that you wanted to be? Is it new Hall of Famer Scott Rolen? For me, it's not Scott Rolen, but congratulations to Scott Rolen. For me, and this is a fun question. You know, you could go the Mike Trout route. We could go the Aaron Judge route, right? Guys that are playing now, the top of their game. I'm just a Ken Griffey Jr. fan. I've loved Ken Griffey Jr. growing up. I always wanted him to be a Milwaukee Brewer. When he was with Seattle, I had his giant picture on the wall for his days in Seattle. And I loved Ken Griffey Jr. He was always my favorite player. So he's a guy that I always wanted to be a Milwaukee Brewer. I wasn't a lefty batter growing up, but I had the bat swing like Ken Griffey did. And it's just, I wanted to be like him, and I wanted him to be a Milwaukee Brewer. And obviously, and that never came to fruition. It was even worse when he went to Cincinnati because he was close to the division, obviously being in the division, but it just didn't happen, Jesse. So that was my guy, Ken Griffey Jr. There's really no wrong answer here, right? People that say, you know, Aaron Judge, you know, guys like that, Alex Rodriguez in his prime, maybe a Derek Jeter. I think there's really no wrong answer here. But for me, it's a personal thing with Ken Griffey. Just love the dude. You think he's one of the best to ever play. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. So let's go to the next question here before we hit our next segment. And Levi, who is a former participant in the fan feature Friday and coming up tomorrow, we got two more Brewers fans. So be on the lookout for that. Levi asks, is this finally the year Christian Yelich recaptures some of that 2018-2019 magic? Or should fans recalibrate their expectations for the long term? I think you nailed it on the back end of your question. I do think fans need to recalibrate their expectations. Until otherwise, I do not think the power numbers are ever going to return for Christian Yelich. My biggest thing with Christian Yelich is that he just mentally clears whatever it is going on. Because if you don't think that there's something mentally going on or went on with Christian Yelich over the course of the last year, year and a half with the freak knee injury, his back's been acting up, he's changed his swing multiple times, I think you're fooling yourself. I do think that there is a mental block somewhere there with Christian Yelich, and people have their other conspiracies regarding his performance. I'm not going to get into it because, quite frankly, I have no knowledge of what that could or could not be. But I do not think the magic of 2018 and 2019 is going to come to fruition in 2023. I think fans need to recalibrate their expectations and kind of expect what you saw in Christian Yelich prior to coming to Milwaukee, right? A guy that when he gets on the base path, he's dangerous and he can steal you 20, 30. He could get up to near 40 stolen bases, get that on-base percentage up, get that OPS plus maybe right around 120, 125, right? Doesn't need to be. I'm not sure exactly what his MVP years OPS plus were. It was probably over 150, at least had to have been. And somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, but he just needs to be a guy that can bat leadoff, have a high on-base percentage, have that average hover closer to 280, 290. And again, get that OPS plus up. I think he was at 111 last year, which isn't terrible. 11% better than the league. You'd like to see it a little bit, you know, to the right there. But I do think fans need to recalibrate some of their expectations for the long term. We'll get to one more question here, and this goes out to Bill. What is the over under that the Brewers broadcast calls makes jokes about Brian Anderson calling Brian Anderson's at bats? The over-unders probably needs to be 100, and I think it'll go over that if Brian Anderson, the player, can remain healthy. You're going to hear it all season long, especially at the beginning of the year. Everybody that's listening to this podcast has probably watched the Brewers on TV. There's a lot of, I wouldn't say dead air on TV, but there's a lot of fill-in, right? They need a lot of filler on TV at times. Some games are boring and move a little bit slow, so I'm sure you'll hear it a lot. Be discussed, but that's a good one. And shout out to Bill for that question. And thank you, Jesse. Thank you, Lori. I don't think I'm missing anybody else in that. And Levi, I almost forgot Levi. So thank you to Levi for your questions. It is just, it's good. It's good to get into baseball talk here, getting these questions because the dead of winter here in Wisconsin under the snowstorm, you know, I guess you wouldn't call it storm, winter advisory. It's good to talk some baseball with you guys. And these questions are just absolutely incredible. I love them. I love that they're a little bit personal. I love that they're a little bit formal and having a little fun with it. And we dive into more of your questions coming up next. One of my favorite episodes each and every week is getting to know you guys and you guys getting to know a little bit about me. And that's getting all of these questions and going through them. Some great thoughts, some funny ones, some personal ones, some ones about 2023, some ones about David Stearns. They're all great. I appreciate your great thoughts and questions all over all the time. Let's jump right back into it, shall we? Let's go to William, who is over on Facebook, who asks, what do you make of the game day MLB Twitter rankings? interesting. I saw this tweet. So if you're not following at the Game Day MLB, they released their MLB team tiers. And it starts at the top with true contenders, the tier below it, playoff teams, the tier below that, fringe playoff teams. Tier below that could be good, could be awful. Below that, bad but frisky. And the last two are horrific and the A's. That's good. So if you're listening to this podcast and you had to guess, do you think the Brewers are in the true contenders category? Okay, think about that. Do you think that they're in the playoff teams category? Or do you think they're in the fringe playoff teams category? So they're in one of those three: true contenders for a championship, playoff teams, or fringe playoff teams. MLB Game Day has, or the Game Day MLB has, the Brewers listed as a fringe playoff team, along with the Baltimore Orioles, the Chicago White Sox, the Minnesota Twins, and the Tampa Bay Rays. Interesting. I think, to answer William's question, I think that's about right for the Milwaukee Brewers. I think they are a fringe playoff team. They have the Cardinals as a playoff team. I've said it before, until something major changes, the Cardinals, unfortunately, as much as it pains me to say this, the Cardinals are my favorite to win the National League Central. The Cubs have had a good offseason. We talked about the Cubs. They have the Cubs listed as could be good, could be awful. I think that's accurate for the Chicago Cubs. I think this whole list is pretty accurate. We'll just go through real quick. They're true contenders. They have the Braves, the Houston Astros. I think both of us, both those teams would, I think most people would agree. The New York Mets are up there, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the San Diego Padres. I see where the Phillies are. The Mets, we get the Mets and the Padres hype every offseason. He's just one of those things, like we've talked about it with the Brewers prospects. You got to show me before I really believe in it. Playoff teams, they have the Guardians over there in Cleveland, the LA Dodgers, the New York Yankees, Seattle Mariners, Toronto Blue Jays, and, of course, we just talked about them, the St. Louis Cardinals. I think it's a pretty good list. I do. The Reds, we'll go through the rest of the NL Central. The Reds and the Pirates are listed as horrific. So, yeah, I don't know what the Reds and Pirates are doing, but that, you know, I think we all can agree that that's probably accurate. But I do agree with this, William, that I do think the Brewers are a fringe playoff team. And until something major happens, you know, I don't see that changing. You know, I know Fangraphs, I think Fangraphs had the Brewers at 90 wins, 91 wins. I could be wrong there, but I think that's kind of where it would make sense, right? A fringe playoff team, you would imagine the Cardinals are probably around 95, 96 wins, and then go from there. But I think the odds of getting the Brewers into the playoffs are 50-50. And that's kind of where my ranking was at the beginning of the show, where I had the Brewers at number 5, listed 1 through 10 on their offseason. And I think if you get guys like Christian Yelich, you know, we talked about him before, if Jesse Winker, we've talked about him before, William Contreras, we've discussed him and the potential he carries. If you get those guys rolling offensively, I think you're going to be great, right? And I think offense is the one question. The consistency of the offense is the one question. You know what you're getting with the starting pitching, and we've talked about it. Their depth is even better this year with the addition of Wade Miley. Their bullpen, I would personally like to see another high-leverage lefty. What they do with Ethan Small is going to be up for debate, and we'll see what they do going into spring training in Arizona soon. Your closer in Devin Williams is solid. I think they're good in pitching. Defensively, I think they're good. You just have a lot of what-ifs, a lot of question marks, a lot of could-bes and hopes, and that's great, and that's great. If you're a Brewers fan and a few of those pan out, you're set. You're good, and you get into the big dance. And when you lean on your pitching and hopefully your offense carries through into the playoffs, and I think you're going to be happy. I think I'm good with that list, William, as the Brewers as a fringe playoff team. That's a great question. I had to find that over there on Twitter, but I did find it, and I do agree with that list. So good question. Mike on Twitter wants to know, who is my favorite all-time Brewer? That is a great question, Mike. You know, going back to the the 90s. I was a huge Cirillo fan. I loved Jeff Cirillo growing up. I loved Jeremy Burnett. I absolutely loved Richie Sexson. They were those, you know, those guys were like my childhood. And then Braun started to come up, University of Miami, you know, and then started to kind of catch a lot of headlines. And as a, you know, as a growing up, you know, that's you want to know who's on TV, who's on SportsCenter. And for me as a Brewers fan, when Braun and Fielder were coming up, that was the start, right? You know, of our, what I call our golden age in Milwaukee Brewers baseball. And I know people will say the 80s are, but I think it's this era that we're currently in or that we have been in. And Braun was a start of that for me, going back to the playoffs and what he did for the Milwaukee Brewers. So Ryan Braun is my favorite Brewer of all time. Now, I know that's a controversy take because of the issues that he's faced in his professional career, but he's a guy that I just love. Teams hate him. I mean, they hated him, which means if you're a Brewers fan and somebody hates your player, the Cubs hated Ryan Braun. That means he was good against them. The Cubs hate Christian Yelich. That means he's good against them. So I'm going to go with Ryan Braun. So that's a great question. We'll get into one more here. Scott, who's over on Twitter, asks, which non-roster invite makes a splash at spring training and makes the opening day team? So I went through a little bit of the list. A name that sticks out to me is Andrew Monasterio, right? He's a multi-positional infielder, 26 years old. He had a pretty solid slash line, 271, 364, and 406, and 110 games last season. He can play pretty much every position in the infield, all four positions. He primarily plays shortstop, but he's a guy you could plug in at second. He's a guy you could plug in at third. He's a guy that I think, and the only reason I'm kind of leery about this, Scott, is just because Owen Miller and Brian Anderson and Abraham Toro, like, you're loaded with the infield position, but he's a guy that kind of sticks out to me as a guy that could be, you know, somebody that really sticks out in spring training, and the Brewers just have to stick with him just because he's flashing. JC Meja is another one who had some trouble, but he returned to AAA Nashville last year, had a really strong finish to that year, posting a 138 ERA with a batting average for the opponents at 136. So JC Meja is another guy where if he can stay out of trouble and do what he's supposed to do, huge dude. I think he's like 6'5", 6'6", like definitely somebody that I could see later on in the Brewers bullpen at the course of the season. So we'll see. Those are awesome. Great questions. You guys are just terrific at what you guys do with this. Thank you guys so much for all your questions. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for liking us on Twitter, on Facebook, subscribing on YouTube. I cannot thank you guys enough. As a Brewers fan, to sit and do this podcast, it's a childhood dream for me, and I appreciate all of your support, whatever it is, in any capacity, even if you just listen, I love it. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for making this podcast part of your daily routine. You can find the Locked On Brewers podcast everywhere and anywhere you get your podcast. We are on Twitter, and we are also on Facebook at Locked On Brewers. You can find me on Twitter at Brandon_Snide. Thank you for making Locked On Brewers your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he is going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It is free and available wherever you get your podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Snide. Until next time, be safe, stay warm, and of course, go Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.